Good evening again. Tonight, I didn't know what to call my message, but I just looked in the script, my opening scripture, and the title for tonight's message is Approved or Ashamed. Approved or Ashamed. So last time I was up here, we touched on how we should labour in the Word and doctrine and be nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine. And hopefully we understood that... Hopefully we understood that God requires that every born-again believer is to be a serious Bible student. So tonight we're going to delve a bit deeper into this topic of being a serious Bible student. So please turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, and that's where I got my title for the message tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, very familiar passage of Scripture. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this wonderful day. We thank you for Coastline Baptist Church, Lord, and we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we can look into your word and we can see everything we need for our lives here on this earth, Lord. I pray help us now as we look into your word that you would bless each one tonight that's come and help us to see what it is you have to say to us. And Lord, I pray that we would be not just hearers of the word, Lord, but doers of the word. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The Bible is the word of truth. It is the revelation of God, who is truth. It is pure truth in a world of lies. In its pages we find salvation. We can know God, we can find the answer to every important question in life, get practical wisdom, spiritual strength, victory over the devil, find God's perfect will, understand the past, know the future, prepare for Christ's judgment seat, and prepare for Christ's kingdom. I'd like to read you the front of my Bible. I've read it once before, and Sister Connie liked it so much I gave her a copy. I printed out a copy for it. But at the beginning of my Bible, it just gives a description of the Bible. And it's an anonymous author, but I like it. It sounds really good. It says here, the Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveller's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's character. Here paradise is restored, heaven opened, and hell disclosed. The Lord Jesus Christ is its grand object, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. Read it slowly, frequently and prayerfully. Let it fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. It is a mine of wealth, a paradise of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be opened in judgment and remembered forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the highest labour, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Amen. So I'm going to mention a few things here. Four-letter words that people don't like. Understanding the Bible requires work. There's one of those four-letter words, work. But this is God's plan. There's another word. The word study. I said five-letter words, sorry. The word study is from the Greek word spoudazo, which means to use speed, to make effort, to prompt or earnest. It is also translated as be diligent, give diligence, endeavour and labour. Proverbs chapter 2 verses 1 through 9 likens seeking wisdom in God's word to digging for silver and seeking worldly wealth. If you'd like to quickly turn with me please to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2, and we'll read through from verses 1 through to verse 9. Proverbs chapter 2 verse 1, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path." Amen. Understanding the Bible requires learning. In our opening passage, the phrase "rightly divide" is translated from the Greek word orthotomio. I don't know if that's how you pronounce it properly. Meaning to make a straight cut or to dissect correctly the divine message. This tells us that there is also wrong ways to interpret the Bible. And even in the beginning of the church age, men were already mishandling the truth. Today, as we know here at Coastline, all over the world, there are men and women who are teaching gross error in the churches. Understanding God's word requires a relationship with God. In our opening scripture, "Show thyself approved unto God." We can know the truth because God will show us. The Bible is not given for confusion, but for a light. Amen? Bible study requires a spiritual life. The first and foremost requirement for fruitful Bible study is a saved, spirit-led life. Unlike other books, the Bible is a spiritual book and can only be understood by spiritual people. There are three types of people described in 1 Corinthians in chapters 2 and 3. The natural man, the spiritual man, and the carnal man. And as we know, the natural man is the unsaved person who is spiritually dead and blind, and he cannot understand the things of God. The spiritual man and the carnal man refer to believers. And the believer is either spiritual or carnal, depending upon his walk with Christ. Depending on whether he is walking in the flesh or in the spirit. The carnal or worldly believer, because he's not walking in the Spirit, cannot understand the difficult things of Scripture. He can drink milk, but he can't chew the meat. In the parable of the sower, Jesus warned that the Word of God can be choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. In Mark chapter 4, verse 19, he said that the world can be choked by the lusts of other things entering in. In Bible study, spiritual life is more important than technical skills. Ordinary men and women, just like you and me, who possess no knowledge of the original languages in which the Bible was written, have knowledge of the real contents of the Bible. Their understanding is actual teaching, and its depth, fullness, and beauty far surpasses that of many learned professors in theological facilities. Salvation is essential in effective Bible study. And I've covered this in my message, Evidence of Salvation. But let's just briefly recap on some biblical evidences of salvation. The first evidence is a conversion experience and a new spiritual life and direction. And the testimonies we find in the Bible emphasize this conversion experience. These examples are Zacchaeus in Luke 19. The woman at the well in John 4, the Jews converted on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8, and the Philippian jailer in Acts chapter 16. And biblical salvation is not a process, it is a conversion experience. Another evidence is a personal relationship with Christ. Biblical salvation is not changing religions. It is to know Christ personally as your Lord and Saviour and to walk and talk with Him. Another evidence is a love of God's Word. This is one of the greatest evidences of salvation, is one's attitude towards the Bible. And another evidence is the love of righteousness. As we learned last week also, that the true believer can sin because of the old man that still resides in him, but he has an entirely different attitude towards sin. He can no longer enjoy sin. He has been converted and the Holy Spirit lives within him, and God is his Father. The things he once loved, he now hates. And the things he once hated, he now loves. If we want to study the Bible fully, we must make certain that we are born again and that we are walking in close fellowship with the author of the book. This is the first and foremost requirement. Then there is the right priority. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God requires first place in our lives. Since he has magnified his word above his very name, it is evident that he intends that we should make the study of his word the very highest priority. The study of the Bible should come first thing in the morning when our minds are uncluttered with the concerns of life. I've shared with you before that myself, I am a morning person, helped mostly by my cat who wakes me up in the morning, but I get up early naturally, so I praise the Lord for that, and I find drinking a couple of cups of coffee always helps me in my study of God's Word. Jesus likened the Word of God to one's daily food. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, "But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." As food is necessary for physical growth and health, so is the Word of God is necessary for spiritual growth and health. As food must be eaten daily, so the Word of God must be studied daily. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God gave them manna to eat, and it had to be gathered and eaten every day. It could not be left over for the next day. Likewise, the believer must have a habit of consistent daily Bible study if he wants to grow strong and develop in God's will. To learn the Bible properly, one must put aside significant time to read it and study it. And the study of the Bible should be a priority above the study of other books. It is not honouring to God to spend most of one's time reading about the Bible while neglecting the actual study of the Bible itself. There's nothing wrong with sound doctrinal books, but they should never take place of the Bible. It is important first simply to read the Bible. Amen? There is probably no other one thing that can help a believer better to understand the Bible than simply reading it and reading it and reading it. Reading it systematically. What systematically mean, Brother Andy? I'm glad you asked. That just means reading it through from cover to cover. The Bible is not merely a collection of writings, it is one book, and to be understood, it needs to be read and studied as one book. Each individual book of the Bible complements the other books, and as the Bible is read systematically, the pieces gradually fit together. It is also necessary to study the Bible. This involves slowing down the pace, doing word studies, analysing individual passages, doing topical studies, outlining books and using commentaries. As I mentioned last time I was here, those who have received a copy of the Sword of the Lord. Sorry, Sword Searcher. The commentaries in there, there's a huge amount of commentaries. It's a great tool. Make sure we're using it, amen? As I said last time, if I had hard copies of all those commentaries, they would just about fill my bookshelf. I've got a reasonably small bookshelf, by the way. Serious Bible study requires prayer. Amen? Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 3 says, "Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding." Bible study is not a mere intellectual exercise. It is a relationship with God. As we search the Bible, we must cry out to its author for understanding. The Bible student must trust the Lord and lean not unto thine own understanding. And you'll find that in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. When we pray for wisdom, we acknowledge that we don't have it. We acknowledge our dependency upon God, and we are humbling ourselves before God. Earnest prayer to understand the Bible is the opposite of the spirit of pride of scholarship and the foolish dependency upon human intellect, and helps keep the heart humble and right. Amen. Twice the scripture warns that God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. In James chapter 4 and verse 6, and 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 5. I read James chapter 4 verse 6 for you. "But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble." As the Bible student grows in his understanding of the scriptures and has success in applying the rules of interpretation, he is also in danger of becoming self-confident and unconcerned. The old heart can deceive me into thinking that I have arrived and that I no longer need to cry out to the Lord for understanding. But in reality, no man will ever truly master the scriptures. Not in this life, anyway. The Bible, as God's word, is an eternal book containing endless truth. As we grow and understand the Bible, we realize that our knowledge is only superficial and that there is much that lies still beyond our grasp. We never come to the place in our Bible study whereby we do not need to cry out to the author for help and understanding. Effective Bible study requires obedience. Do you want to turn with me to James chapter 1? James chapter 1 verses 22 to 25. James chapter 1 verses 22 through to 25. "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." Amen? The Bible student must apply the Bible to his daily life. If I stop obeying, I stop growing, and I stop having good spiritual discernment. The parable of the sower teaches that worldly lusts and cares choke the word. You find that in Mark chapter 4, verse 19. You don't have to turn there for time's sake. But Mark chapter... Is it Mark? I better double check that. It's either Matthew or Mark. I've got an abbreviated thing there. Sorry, guys. Mark chapter 4 and verse 19. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, this is Mark. Mark chapter 4, verse 19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. Effective Bible study also requires persistence. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 says, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Feelings come and go, and the child of God must continue in the things of Christ, whether we feel like it or not, whether the situation is difficult or easy. There will be periods in which your heart will sing and the meaning of Scripture will leap off the pages of the Bible and it will come alive. And there are other times in which everything will become dull and dry. Why? Why should we have dull and dry times in our Christian life? Because we live in a body of this death, which is tells us in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? We are affected by our physical condition. And David spoke of such a condition in Psalm chapter 119 and verse 83. He said, for I am become like a bottle in the smoke, yet do I not forget thy statutes. The bottles used to be made of skin, and it's evident that one of these hung up in the smoke soon became parched, shriveled up, lose all its strength and become unsightly and useless. So the psalmist appeared to himself to have become useless and despicable through the exhausted state of his body and mind. The child of God will go through times like that, but he must do what David did. Yet do I not forget thy statutes. Even if Bible study becomes monotonous and discouraging at some point, just keep on keeping on, and the blessing will return. Effective Bible study requires concentration. As I said, I use coffee for concentration. Probably not a good thing, I don't know, but I really enjoy coffee in the morning, and it helps me with my reading my Bible. I won't fall asleep after a couple of coffees, amen. But if you can't concentrate upon the Bible, your study time will not be very profitable. It is so easy for our mind to wander as we read the Bible, and we must do whatever is necessary to keep our thoughts on the Scriptures, to hold the words of God in our hearts so that they bring forth good fruit. Not only do we live in a weak, fleshly body called the body of this death, it gets sick and tired. And not only do we dwell in a world full of cares and troubles, but we have an aggressive spiritual enemy that seeks to hinder our progress. And as we're all well aware, his name is Satan, the adversary, the one who stands before us to resist us. Bible study is spiritual warfare, and we must do everything necessary to win this war. Amen? The parable of the sower teaches us that a man must make the effort to understand and apply the Scriptures, or the truth will be stolen away from his heart by the devil. We must capture the truth by meditating on it and finding out its meaning. That's why memorization is such a good thing. When Scriptures are memorized, we can then meditate upon them at any time. So how do you concentrate upon the Word of God? Well, we need a quiet and private place. You can't study the Bible in a room where other people are talking, or the radio is on, or the TV is going. It's not wise, and it's also not honouring to the Lord, who deserves our undivided attention. The Bible is the very Word of God. Would it be proper to invite God over for a visit and then have many other things going on at the same time as he is trying to talk to us? Ask the Lord to help you to keep your mind on his word. If you find your mind frequently wandering during Bible study, lay the matter before the Lord. Tell Him that you desire to grow in knowledge of Him and His Word. Explain your problem to Him and beseech Him to help you concentrate. If you are particularly worried by some other matter, cast it upon the Lord. And trust Him to take care of it for you. Then you can turn your full attention to His Word. You also need to remove things from your Bible study area that are distracting. And also be very careful using a computer during Bible reading time. It is too easy to get distracted with other things on the computer. When you find that your mind has wandered during the reading of Scripture, it is important to go back and read that passage again until you understand what you are reading, even if it takes several goes at it. It's better to read one verse with clear understanding than to read the entire chapter with your mind drifting onto other things. And also try not to read the Bible when you're tired. Sometimes it can't be avoided, and it's better to read the Bible when tired than not at all. But as wise Bible students, we should arrange our schedule so that we can study the Scriptures when our minds are fresh. I always try to tell the teens that the morning is the best time, but maybe I was biased in that because I'm a morning person. But once you're out of bed and up and at them, it's like, all right, let's read God's Word, amen? Sometimes it is helpful to read the Bible aloud if you find your mind wandering. This can help you maintain your concentration. And also a larger print Bible can also help with concentration because it is easier to read and the pages of the Bible are not cluttered. Be persistent. Don't let the devil defeat you in your Bible reading. If you find yourself unable to concentrate for a period, don't quit. There are ups and downs in Bible study, as there are ups and downs in everything in life. The best tip for effective Bible study is to keep in there and don't give up. Effective Bible study requires paying attention to the details. To benefit the most from Bible study, we must understand that every word of the Bible is important. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ spoke even of the jots and tittles, which are the tiny parts of Hebrew letters. The wise Bible student pores over the pages of Scripture, looking at every detail, knowing that nothing is there by accident. Every word of Scripture has a divine purpose. Every word of Scripture has a divine purpose. It has been purified 7 times. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 tells us, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified 7 times. An effective Bible study also requires a good church. Amen? The church is the institution God has ordained to be the pillar and ground of the truth. To that institution He has given ministry-gifted men for the edification of the saints, and it is necessary for the child of God to benefit from this ministry. It is not God's will for a Christian to be a lone maverick. The biblical pattern is for a Christian to join himself to a sound Bible-believing church. And that is emphasized throughout the New Testament. It is particularly in the church that the Christian is to hear the Word of God. 7 times in Revelation chapters 2 and 3, we read that we are to hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. There is a special sense in which God speaks to the believer in His own assembly through His own pastors. We need to pray for a pastor, amen? As the Lord had a special message for each of the churches of Asia Minor in the first century, He also has a special message for each church today. Each church is a body, and the members are to be taught and edified together by the Lord through the pastors and teachers. And we should take advantage of every avenue of sound teaching available to us. But the first place for sound teaching is in our own church. Assuming, of course, that the church is a good one. Amen? Thank God for Coastline Baptist Church. Don't waste the precious opportunity of learning from your church. So many Christians are careless about the preaching and teaching they sit under. Many are not faithful to all the services. And some of those who are faithful hardly look at their Bibles, making no effort to capture something that will benefit them later. We need to use every opportunity of sitting under good preaching and teaching to capture as much as possible for our spiritual life and our own personal mission ministries. Even dull preachers and teachers usually have something worthwhile to say if the student will make the effort to get it. Come prepared. Come prepared to capture the things the Lord shows you during the preaching and teaching. Don't come complaining. Come praying and beseeching the Lord, beseeching Him to speak through the preaching. I'd like to finish up with a short poem. And no, I didn't write it myself. I probably can't even read it that well. But anyway, this poem is written by Amos R. Wells. Hopefully this will encourage us to read our Bibles. Hopefully encourage us to read our Bibles cover to cover each year using the program outlined in our monthly bulletin. Amen? And then the poem, it's only a short poem. The poem is titled, When I Read the Bible Through. And it goes like this. Reading piecemeal, hit or miss, now a bit of John or Matthew, now a snatch of Genesis. Certain chapters of Isaiah, certain Psalms, the 23rd, 12th of Romans, 1st of Proverbs. Yes, I thought I knew the word. But I found that thorough reading was a different thing to do, and the way was unfamiliar when I read the Bible through. You who like to play at Bible dip and dabble here and there, just before you kneel a weary, a yawn through a hurried prayer. You who treat the crown of writings as you treat no other book, just a paragraph disjointed, just a crude, impatient look. Try a worthier procedure, try a broad and steady view. You will kneel in very rapture when you read the Bible through. Amen.